Welcome to the Agency Profit Podcast, a show dedicated to going deep space on agency operations, which is just as nerdy as it sounds. I'm your host, Marcel Petipoff. I'm the CEO of Parakeeto, a firm that helps digital and creative agencies measure and improve their profitability. Join me as I interview some of the smartest thought leaders and agency owners in our space and go deep into operations, metrics, and all the other things you need to get right so you can spend less time worrying about operations and more time executing on your vision. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Agency Profit Podcast. I'm pleased today to be joined by a recent Hawaii transplant, remote agency coach that's been serving agencies and speaking all over the industry for many years. His name is Chris Rudolph, and he's here today to talk about performance-based retainers. So with that, Chris, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thanks so much, Marcel. It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. We connected a while back. We had a really great chat about what you're up to, and I've given everyone a little bit of context, but to start things off, I'd love for you to, in your own words, describe what you do and who you serve.
Yeah, so I'm a business coach for agency owners, and I've worked solely with agency owners for almost a decade. Here in a couple of months, we'll cross the 10-year mark, and I just love being under the hood with agency owners and to help them not only accelerate the growth of their agency, but also eliminate hustle and make time for like the really important things in life.
And so you've been doing this for a while, but what got you into coaching agencies and why agencies specifically?
Yeah, it was definitely one of those accidental businesses. So I got started over 20 years ago, my first business, 23. It was actually in the fitness industry. And knew my craft, but had no clue about business, and made lots of mistakes along the way, and sought out mentors and coaches, and was really early on to leverage digital marketing. So it was kind of in that space, but grew that business and was able to sell that business as well as a SaaS business as well. And I was helping kind of the new owner in the transition, and I had people coming up to me just asking for help with their businesses. And they happen to be a lot of digital agency and digital marketers. And I just started helping them. And finally, after a while, they were like, well, how can we pay you? So I had to kind of make up some packages on the spot. But that was like 10 years ago. And I've been helping agencies ever since. I love, I can't pick up a better group of people. You know, if I was at a conference with anyone, it would be agency owners, people that are, they're really in it because they really care. And they definitely, most of them aren't natural CEOs or went to school for that or had that type of skill set going in. So I love being able to help them really develop those skills, and it makes a big difference so that they don't have an agency that is like a really risky job that is very stressful, but have something that gives them the type of freedom that they thought of when they first started it.
Now, being in the industry for a decade focused exclusively on agencies, I think we've both seen a lot of things change and a lot of things shifting, especially recently with COVID and then the economy doing what it's done. And that kind of frames up our conversation for today. Let's start by talking about like what's been changing, what's happening on the ground that you think is inspiring some of the shifts in how we price and how we scope and how agencies are positioning themselves in 2024.
Yeah, for sure. For one, anytime there's any disruption, there's always some really great opportunities for the agencies that have their eyes open and can kind of punch any fear or anxiety in the face and really take advantage of those type of situations. So right now, and I've been through like so many iterations of this over the years, but you might have in some of the type of brands that you serve, you might be seeing some clients that are starting to pause or cancel or get a little bit nervous on the financial end. And that could be reality of their financials or just what they're reading in the news. So in times like that, you know, having like a premium priced retainer sometimes can seem a little risky for them. You know, they pay this money up front and there's not like a guarantee of results and they have to maybe wait a while, especially let's say you offer paid ads. A lot of times there's a ramp up period to really start to get an ROI on that. And that can make, you know, brands a little bit nervous. So anytime you're in this type of position, performance retainers can be a really great option, you know, for those that have paused, are canceling, or thinking of canceling, or are just a little bit nervous to get started. So I think the topic, you know, that we're talking about today is really, really relevant, especially, you know, kind of in the given time that we have.
Yeah. I mean, for those listening, I can say, and I'm sure that you saw this as well from, you know, being in this posture where you get to see and talk to a ton of agencies, 23 was a brutal year for this exactly, for a lot of client churn, a lot of cancellations, a lot of contracts drying up, and then pipelines. It's not that the pipelines were empty, but nothing was closing, especially from, we'll call it June to like November of 23, it felt like nobody was spending money and there was lots of conversations happening, but a lot of cans getting kicked. And so I think for a lot of people listening to this, that those scars are probably still, or those wounds are probably still fresh and probably still top of mind coming out of 23. And there probably is still some residual resistance there after clients have gone through this exercise of belt tightening. So with that, we come into the topic of these performance-based retainers. And you know, historically, just to tee this up, the criticism of performance-based pricing is that, well, it's very risky. And it's kind of the most advanced form of value-based pricing in that you not only need to understand how much time and money it will cost you to get a client an outcome, but you also have to understand how to consistently deliver that outcome and identify the kinds of clients that you can do that for. And so very few firms have been able to get to a place where they can charge like just purely based on performance. So you, I think, have a bit of a different model that you want to propose on how to capture upside without completely taking on the risk. Let's start by defining kind of your model for how to do this value-based or value-informed retainer.
Yeah, so it's a really hybrid of a retainer and a straight performance package. So it's kind of meets in the middle. So with a retainer, you know, clients pay up front. It's good for you as an agency. You know exactly, you can budget, you know, when you think of people and expenses and predict it. But it can be a little bit risky for the client because they have to pay, and you know they know results aren't going to happen day one. And also it's a little easy for your team to get a little complacent with that because they're like, there's not really a lot of, there's not a lot of skin in the game for them as far as performance goes. And on the flip side, when you think of performance based, just like you were saying, it can be huge. It can be a huge multiplier for your agency, but it also could go the other way. You know, it can be very up and down, especially if there's any disruption in attribution or data. That's a huge, you know, that can happen. Obviously we've seen that over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years as well. And it's really good for the client because they only pay if they make money. But also when they start to see some of those invoices come through and, you know, automatically their mind's going to go to the math and they're going to be thinking, wow, could I hire an in-house team for this or an in-house person? Or, you know, that agency that keeps knocking on my door sounds really good. So sometimes even though, you know, your agency did deliver, they're like, man, you know, 25, 30,000, 50,000 a month. They think about, they can get a little, a little just antsy with that. So we're going to take both of those and kind of combine some of the benefits and, manage some of the risk. So it's giving a flat fee retainer, probably smaller than your premium, flat fee retainer. And a lot of times my recommendation is to really cover your costs and then have a little bit of buffer, maybe at least 5% buffer so that you don't lose money. Like my big thing is you never want to lose money. And then the second part of that is like a small percentage, let's say of net sales or ROAS or cost per lead that can be kind of your performance piece of that puzzle, so that it's a little bit less risk for the client, but also you have some upside to really when you really deliver results, it can be a multiplier in your agency.
Mm-hmm. I want to double click on, you know, when you're talking about the base retainer side. So you're talking about covering your costs, and I want to be clear about what costs we're talking about. Are we talking about the direct delivery costs? And so we're really talking about essentially breaking even, just based on like what it costs us to service that client, or are you setting kind of a delivery margin or gross margin target that also encompasses some of the operating expenses of the business? What's your general heuristic for how to think about that?
Yeah, I would really, and I do have some of my clients that kind of section out their P&L this way. But you know, you have your like people cost, and that's something that a lot of times is easy to calculate. And then what I do is, if you looked at, you know, your entire year, entire month, and you take your people cost and then your non-people cost, whatever kind of that, you know, is the percentage of the non-people part of it, I would just kind of use that as a general thumb. Let's say it's 10% or 15%. I would just add that in, you know, when you're kind of pricing out that retainer part of a performance retainer.
Yeah. So for the Parakeeto fanatics, that's probably going to equate to like a 30% delivery margin or something like that, where it's like, okay, it's going to cost us $1,500 a month in the payroll that's allocated to this client based on the amount of time it's going to take and who's working on it. And then if we want to, you know, be able to cover some amount of overhead there, then we, you know, mark that up essentially 30%. Actually, I shouldn't say we mark it up by 30%, because that's not the same as having a 30% delivery margin, but yeah. Yes. That sounds about right. So it's not the 70% that you would usually target. But the idea here, from what I'm understanding, is we're trying to get to a 70% plus delivery margin now based on the performance side of things. So let's talk a little bit about what some of the typical ways are to identify and then capture some fees based on performance.
Yeah. A lot of times I like to keep this as simple as you can. Now, if you're like a full service agency, it's going to be a little bit easier because you can control more of the variables. And I should say this too. If you don't have all of the pieces, you could partner. You don't have to even bring those all in-house, but you could partner with others that provide those pieces so that you control more of the variables. You kind of create a one-stop shop. So for those, I like to keep it simple. Like if you can do a percent of net sales or a percent of net sales that you can attribute to your marketing activities, that's probably the easiest and probably the most common that I see clients use. I mean, if you're doing, let's say, just paid ads, you could do it on like for ROAS. If you're working not with info products or e-commerce, but it's more on generating leads, you can do a price per lead. That's typically how I see clients doing that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have some recent experience being a client on this side of things. And it's interesting because, of course, I want to base the performance on the metric that's closest to the bottom of the funnel, right? So like I want to pay you for a client that I've actually gotten. Or, you know, the next best thing would be I want to pay you for a call that's booked and qualified in my calendar and actually shows up. And then the next best thing from that would be we want to pay you for, you know, a qualified lead. And the risk profile for me gets higher the further away from the bottom of the funnel we get. But the flip side of that is the cost and complexity of measuring it accurately gets increasingly more complex the closer we get to the bottom of the funnel. And I mean, today, it's very difficult unless you have all of your traffic going through like one funnel and there's like it's very, very isolated. It's very difficult actually to measure attribution if that traffic is coming to your website and then going through the same channels that everything else is going to. So that's, I think, a really important point for you to bring up is, you know, try to find something that you can measure and that you have control over the variables. Because like, for example, if I was paying the agency that's doing our Facebook ads based on performance right now, they might get upset that my calendar doesn't have as much availability as they'd like it to so that more calls can get booked through. And it's like, well, that could be a point of contention if you don't have control over that variable, but you're being compensated on it. The CEO decides to take a 2-week vacation and isn't selling. Well, that's going to hurt your commissions, right? So those are some really good things to watch out for. What are some other kind of risks or gotchas that you want to suss out before you start making commitments to performance based on certain metrics?
Yeah, I think you mentioned supply, like time. On the e-commerce end, it could be like, do they have inventory? That's like I've had clients that, you know, that who work with this model. And then, you know, there's a delay in inventory. I know that during COVID, that was like, you know, the supply chain was a mess. So that was like, hey, you know, like our ads are converting, but we don't have products. And, or they're not updating their inventory properly. And that's where that could really come back to bite you as an agency.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, scaling issues are definitely a thing. And, this kind of leads into, I think, more generally vetting clients, because of course, if the majority of the upside in the pricing model is going to come from the performance that you get for the client, then you probably want to have a framework for identifying, like, is this a client that we are, have a very high degree of certainty that we can get results for? What are some of the best strategies that you've seen for doing that kind of evaluation or initial intake so that we can filter for the clients that we know we can be a slam dunk agency for?
Yeah, I highly recommend doing like free audits as you're, you know, looking at prospects. So even if, let's say, you have a 20-minute discovery call just to see if they're, if first of all, if they're a fit, if they are, then I would invite them to an audit where you and your team can really get under the hood of and get those key metrics. So you want to have that data or access to what you need to really assess the situations. And the more you do those, the more you're going to like know what kind of the red and the yellow flags are. You'll also in that process, because a lot of times, let's say if you get access to their ad account or certain assets or things like that, it's kind of a preview of what they're like to work with. Because if they're not getting you what you need, or they're really difficult to work with, you want to find that out in a, you know, like an audit, you know, 45-minute to 1 hour session before you're locked into a long-term contract with them. So I'd really audit, get to know their situation, what they're like to work with. And at that point too, they, you know, in until you actually deliver the audit, I recommend doing that in a live session, walking them through the audit and then giving them 1 to 2 options max. One of them can be your premium price flat fee retainer. And the second one can be your performance retainer. And you can really have them choose. Now, if they aren't a good fit for a performance retainer, you just leave that option off the table. But you're doing that, you know, you're well informed because you have data of how you work with them. So you kind of slow down the sales process a little bit to make sure it's a good fit.
Do you want some free resources to help you measure and improve your profitability? If you do, then I want to tell you about our agency profitability toolkit, which you can grab absolutely free in the show notes or by heading to parakeeto.com/toolkit. It's packed with training videos, cheat sheets, templates, and all kinds of other great resources to help you start measuring and improving the essential metrics that are going to drive better profitability in your business. And it's helped thousands of other agencies around the world do the same. So I want to encourage you to go and grab a copy of that. And if you'd rather get in the fast lane and just have our team of experts guide you through the process of measuring and improving your profitability, then I want to encourage you to apply for a consultation at parakeeto.com. And with that, I want to thank you again for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the episode and I'll let you get back to it. So yeah, this kind of leads perfectly into sales, which I think is going to be a big mindset shift for most agencies that are perhaps used to leaning in a little bit more and not having a ton of volume coming through their pipeline and trying to close everything that comes through. Whereas with this model, it's kind of the opposite. You should be able to drive a ton of volume through the pipeline, and then your posture is very much qualification, because to your point, you can't just take on any old client, because if you're getting paid based on performance, they need to be the right fit. And inevitably, a lot of the people that hopefully are coming through the funnel because you're able to make these crazy promises, a lot of them are actually not going to be the right fit. And so it completely changes the posture in the sales process. So let's talk first about new business, but then I also want to make sure we talk about the retention aspect that you brought up at the start of the show. But for starters, how does this shift the sales conversation on the front end?
Yeah, you definitely want to lead with an audit. And I think that it actually works just in general, because I've yet to meet an agency owner that got it into the business because they love sales. And I know that's a big hurdle for a lot of agency people. The great thing is when you use this, I got like an audit funnel or an audit sales process, is you don't necessarily have to be an amazing salesperson, and you don't have to try to convince or twist someone's arm all about how awesome your agency is and how, you know, they're amazing 50x results that you're going to get them. You can actually demonstrate how you can help them by actually helping them. And a lot of agencies, whether it's you as an agency owner or someone on your team, probably is pretty good. You're probably a pretty good digital marketing doctor or whatever specialty. So you just get to diagnose and then, you know, tell them, okay, this is what I would do to solve this problem or create this result. So it's very relational based. And, you know, not only that they're assessing you, but you're assessing them. So those are a lot, you know, there's not really a risk. In audit, it doesn't seem like you're getting cornered into a sales call or a virtual sales meeting where it's going to be high pressure. It doesn't trigger that, like going into a timeshare sale type of conversation. You're going in to be helpful. So I think that really you get a lot more at bats with different brands that you wouldn't normally.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what that audit process typically looks like. What's an example of what that process would be, just so everybody can get a sense of what does that look like in practice, actually?
Yeah. So it really starts with handing out an invitation. So that could be in-person networking. That could be speaking with a call to action to an audit. It could be through content. It could be through videos, on-demand trainings, a lot of different ways. Just think of it as ways that you're sending out invites to this audit. So then you have some type of landing page for that audit, and you're going to describe exactly what's going to happen and then how to book. And typically you want to use your calendar tool and have that set up where it's asking key information that you need to have. It could be ad spend. It could be, revenue per month, what they're selling, what's their brand. You can get their website, maybe, anything that you need to really assess the situation, basically everything you need to conduct the audit. And then they basically book the results session time. Now you want to have typically like a buffer of maybe at least a week so that you and your team can conduct it. It's not like you have to turn it around in a day and then you're in a pinch. So they had the results session. Results session is key, like sending just a proposal or an email or a PDF and then just thinking that you're going to land clients. That's like the dungeon that it goes to, and you're going to have to chase, and it probably won't work. So they're going to automatically select that result session that you have. So you slash your team prepare that, and I recommend like rating like 5 to 10 variables. It's just like if you took your car to an oil change, they have like the multi-point inspection. I recommend modeling that, like take out 5 to 10 key variables that you're going to assess. Maybe you show them in a dashboard or you show them quickly in a slide deck. Exactly. You just walk them through kind of your visual or your report, and then you give your recommendation, and you basically, like a good doctor, you're going to give a prescription at the end of it. And typically it's going to be 1 to 2 options, like a flat fee retainer and potentially a performance-based retainer. And then you ask them, hey, what do you think we should go from here?
So I know that there's going to be a lot of people listening who are thinking that sounds like a lot of work for, potentially somebody that might not actually become a customer. And so my assumption is that another benefit of asking for all that information up front is you'll be able to tell right away if somebody's not a fit, and you'll be able to just like, I would personally use the language, actually why we do it on our website, apply for a call. Apply for a consultation, yeah. Because then I reserve the right to send you an email and say, hey, based on the information that you've shared, I don't know that we can help you. Here are some other resources that might be a better fit. That way you're only spending your time on this for the people that are a really good fit and creating that goodwill up front.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And typically I use a simple example. Let's say you you offer ad services. So you want to maybe look at ad spend. So you'll have maybe different tiers that they could select, kind of multiple choice. And, if it's below a certain amount, this isn't really, you're really not the best fit. So you might be able to recommend them to another freelancer or agency that would be a good fit for them. And then you don't have to like conduct the audit and, where it's a waste of time. So that's a really good point. You want to filter, have those questions be filtering. I'd say a second thing is, I know a lot of agencies, when I'm helping them build out this, the first thing when they think audit, they think of like they spent 3 days on the last audit that they did for a client and it was really complex. I'm not talking that. You want to actually keep it simple. It's actually going to work to your advantage, not only from you and your team's time, but a lot of times too much information just confuses the client and they're exhausted and they don't say yes. So our minds are drawn to, that clarity and complexity, people don't buy if it's super complex. So that's why kind of really paring down to the essentials that you need is really, really key. And you wanted, you want to make this a turnkey process that you can, you know, you and your team can prepare quickly. So don't think of like exhaustive audit, maybe that someone paid you $5,000 or $2,000 for, where you look at every single variable. This is going to be more of like a qualifying type audit.
Yeah. Yeah. Good points. Very good points. And it's one of those things where, you know, initially, if you just started doing this, it'll probably be pretty clunky and you'll do a lot of it yourself. But to your point, Chris, as this starts to become more dialed, there's often a ton of leverage in terms of having assistants or more junior people in the company, or even just automation spun up to do a lot of the heavy lifting of collecting the data, aggregating it, getting it in a format where you can look at it for 5 minutes and see what you need to see, putting the deck together. Like all of those kinds of things can be streamlined quite a bit once you see that, hey, this is working. And now we're going to drive a lot of volume through this because it'll get us clients. So exactly. I wouldn't, wouldn't shy away from this initially as at least an experiment, just because it might be a little clunky the first couple of times that you do it.
Yeah. And it's surprising how much you learn. You know, the first one's always the most difficult, but you get a really good system. And I have clients even, you know, within the first month, you know, they get a couple under their belt and they're able to train, like, you know, if it's a real technical type service, you know, a developer on their team or a salesperson can do, you know, most of it or all of it. It's about building a system.
So we talked about the front end of this, you know, assuming, and I want to just qualify this, like assuming you're a firm that sells a service that lends itself to performance-based compensation, assuming that you have a process that you have confidence can create repeatable outcomes, assuming that you can identify clients for which that repeatable outcome is likely, assuming that, you know, these things are true, you can start selling it on the front end this way. The other side of this that you mentioned earlier was when you start to experience client churn, clients that want to cancel, that want to pause, how can you leverage this strategy to approach that situation and try to retain your customers?
Yeah. So you can, let's say you have a client that's paused or canceled. You could send them a message and just mention, hey, I have something that you might be really interested. I know our flat fee retainer, I know that was a little steep, especially with where you're at. And I have something that you might be interested in. Can we meet? And you can go over it that way. So, you know, something that could be a little bit more based on the results that you get, you can kind of hint at that. And a lot of times, people are open to having a conversation or actually very thankful. It's really comes from a place of service. Like when you do that, you're not just like trying to just cram whoever says yes and everyone who is out is just, you know, you throw them to the curb. You're really looking to work with them. So I think that's definitely helpful. If you are sensing, you know, maybe in some of your account meetings or, you know, you see some of the financials or the trends, you can recommend it and just give it them as an option. Everyone likes options. You know, they don't like to be necessarily told like do this or do that or yes or no. But you can give them that option, and maybe a client only needs to be, maybe this is a good bridge in, you know, maybe it's a 3 month or 6 month or a year or 2 year window. They might need that and they might be back up to retainer status in that case. So I think it's a great way. It's also a really good fit for if you have emerging brands that aren't quite, you know, it doesn't make as much sense financially to do your premium based flat fee retainers. This is a great way that, you know, you think they could really grow with you. You can get them in and, it makes sense for them. You don't have to tell them, no, come back, you know, in a year when you've grown to this rate, you can actually jump in and help them.
So, I want to cover a couple of edge cases with this as well. And the first is, you know, assuming you get in and you start working with a client and you thought at first like, oh yeah, they got all the right elements and I think we can crush for them. And then it just doesn't happen. You just can't get it there, or there's an issue with their stuff or something gets in the way. They ran out of inventory. You're 6 months into this engagement. You're just not getting the result for them, but they haven't fired you yet. But you know, like, hey, we're not really making money on this thing. And I'm not sure that there's a path to us to get there. What happens in a situation like that? How as an agency owner should you handle those situations that I think inevitably will happen with enough volume through a process like this?
Yeah, it definitely can happen. I think you want to, you know, think ahead of time. But I think especially if you have good reporting and you're like walking them through, you or your account manager is walking them through the numbers, like they're going to be able to, I mean, if they know numbers and are savvy, like they'll figure it out too. You can just have an open conversation of like, obviously, you know, this isn't working the way we need to, especially if like, if it's a supply issue or like, that sort of thing. And you can look to renegotiate. Now it kind of depends on the terms that you have. Like, let's say you have 6 more months, you're locked in. You can try to suggest that and maybe find a win-win. But if you know, if you can walk away if as long as your terms meet that way, or you're like, I know just based on the way things are going, the only way we could really move forward is to do this retainer. And you can kind of give them an option, you know, and if it's not a good fit for you, maybe it's best that we look to transition.
Yeah. And that I would certainly encourage, if you're going to go down this path, that you give yourself the option to exit an engagement, because it's unlikely, but it is possible that you end up in a situation where the client is actually getting results at unit economics that make perfect sense for them. But because part of this strategy is sometimes hinging on volume, where it's like, you're not as an agency making money unless the volume gets to a certain size, but because it's performance based, like the client might still be happy with, you know, we're not getting as many leads, but the cost per lead is still totally tenable for us, where they're like, yeah, we're good, we'll keep doing this indefinitely. And you're over here thinking like, well, we will not, because we're not making the amount of money that we want to make. And this capacity that's being deployed against this client, we're being compensated less for that than we could be if we were working with a different client. And so you want to your point, give yourself the option to pull out of that engagement if it's not working for you as well, or it didn't work the way that you had planned.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think also you have to look at it at the flip side too. Let's say it goes a lot better. You know, like performance is really off the charts. You really want to keep an eye on the fees that the client is paying, because if it starts to get a little bit out of hand, that, you know, it might look attractive to bring something in house or switch to another agency. You want to be prepared. Maybe it's best to recommend your flat fee retainer, or have tiers built in to your performance retainer. I know a lot of times clients will do that based on revenue or ad spend or things like that, where you can move them and, you know, maybe you're just covering your costs and a little bit, maybe you can move a little bit up towards a retainer. But it can make sense for both of you. You just have to really manage that, because if they are having, you know, getting invoices that are big, they can start to look elsewhere or look for other options.
Yeah, you raise a really good point there, which is, you know, it can be really easy for them to lose sight of the unit economics that were discussed up front that this whole pricing model was based on. And this is a much bigger risk when you end up in a situation where you have multiple stakeholders and the ones reviewing and paying the invoices are not the ones that you sold to. Right, you have a CFO and they're like, why are we paying an agency $100,000 a month? Like, what the hell is going on here? And that comes up at the leadership meeting and it's hard to justify. And they go, well, couldn't we find somebody else to get this for like a lot less? And, you know, you got them the results. So why, like, now they know it's possible, why couldn't somebody else get it? And so it is counterintuitive, but it could actually create a lot of goodwill, to your point, for you to get out ahead of that conversation and say, hey, you know, you're performing so well that I actually think it'd be a much better value for you if we move to a flat rate retainer, and you would get the same results you're getting now, but you would actually pay it a little bit less. We would have more consistency. How do you feel about that? And instead of waiting for them to come to you and say, hey, yeah, we think we're going to try somebody else because frankly, we think we're overpaying for the results that we're getting, which is unfortunate because you took the risk to get there. But yeah, that kind of stuff can happen.
Yeah. Really, really great point. Yeah. So you just have to manage expectations, but you want to be proactive in general, you know, like, especially if you want to be working with a brand who really, you know, they're hungry to grow and they're entrepreneurial, but they're also like, on the flip side, they're very hungry to grow and are looking for the best possible way to grow their brand. So, yeah, it's good to manage those expectations and be proactive.
Well, Chris, I have really appreciated this conversation about a slightly different take on a pretty advanced pricing model that you know, not a lot of people are doing, and rightfully so. As we discussed, there are a lot of things that you need to get right in order to do this and have the risk play out in your favor. But for those that are in that position, I think we've talked about, you know, a lot of the important considerations around this. And I appreciate the kind of hybrid model that you've introduced here to try and get the best of both worlds, to minimize the downside risk, but still give yourself an opportunity to capitalize on the upside. So with that, any final words of advice for firms that are leaving here today thinking about moving forward with something like this?
Yeah, I think one thought is I generally recommend that an agency don't move past 50% of your clients being in this performance retainer, or if you already have existing just performance clients. You just want to kind of balance your risk. You know, if you have, you know, 9 out of 10 clients on performance and you have attribution issues, or, you know, algorithm changes or ad account issues, that could be a little bit more risky for you. But if you have, you know, 50% or a third of your clients in this range, I found that's a really good mix. So adding that performance aspect gives you a multiplier. And that's what I've seen my agencies that I get a chance to work with grow. It's these multipliers that really move them forward. But you want to manage the risk too, so it's not just feast or famine. So that's just a good rule of thumb is to, you know, you can have up to half, but I wouldn't do more than half. Especially, you know, as you grow, you want to build, you know, you want to hire high level people who you don't have to micromanage, like, and you want to pay them well, and you want to have a little bit more consistent cash flow.
Yeah, some sound advice, almost like thinking about your investment portfolio. Yes. If it's all in crypto, you might win big, but you probably won't. So yeah, diversify that thing a little bit. All right, great advice, Chris. For those that want to learn more about you and consume the content that you're producing, where should we send them in the show notes?
Yeah, you can go to my website, freedomagencycoach.com, or feel free to check me out on LinkedIn, Chris Rudolph. And got a lot of different resources. And feel free to reach out. I'm happy to help with anything that you need.
All right. Awesome. And for those of you listening, just go ahead and scroll down in the show notes. We'll have links to Chris's LinkedIn, his website, and some free resources that he's got on offer. So with that, Chris, thank you so much for making the time. It was great to have you.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you've ever found yourself thinking, man, I get so much value from this podcast, I wish there was something I could do to return the favor. Well, today's your lucky day, because you can leave us a review wherever you're listening to this, and it is incredibly helpful. Of course, if you haven't grabbed a free copy of the Agency Profit Toolkit, go and get that. It's got tons of free resources to help you improve your profitability. If you're looking to get in the fast lane and get help from experts to improve your profitability and measure your most important metrics, then apply for a consultation at parakeet.com. We'd love to chat with you and figure out how we can help. With all of that, thank you so much for being a listener, and we will see you on the next episode.